So let's talk about some of the concerns that we hear from team members when we start talking about changing the way they relate to patients or changing the way they speak or changing behavior. And I think the first one that we hear is, well, I really wasn't hired to do this. I wasn't hired to constantly train. And I think if you're going to deliver a service that's constantly improving, that you have no choice. You have to constantly improve. You know, one of the things that I ask often in seminars is, what was the last good book you read on sales? And I can tell you, if I have a room of several hundred people, I may get a handful, that is four or five, that have read a book on sales that can actually give me a title. I have a daughter who just graduated from dental school, and her first degree was in fashion merchandising. She worked at Nordstrom for a year, and during the year that she was there, she read 9 separate books on sales, and that was all in 1 year. And when I ask these dental teams about reading 9 books, and I may get one hand, I usually get down to about 90% of the room has never read a book on sales. No, you were hired to do this. You were hired to constantly improve. And then I hear, well, it's not my personality. Well, you know, what is your personality? I don't know. I worked with a psychiatrist for 2 years on this issue about how humans behave, and we were working with how human beings make decisions. And one of the things that he pointed out was is that life is all about behavior. You know, we like to hide behind our personality, and we work with personality types. In our program, in our coaching program, we work with a DISC test, which is D-I-S-C, and it's 4 basic personality types. And it's always enlightening to learn that, first off, the whole world is not like me. Probably a darn good thing. But the whole world is not like you. And one of the things that we find is people saying, well, I don't behave that way because it's not my personality. And to me, that's a cop-out. That means I can't change my behavior. That's just the way I am. Well, that's not true. You know, according to the psychiatrist we worked with, that behavior, unless someone has a gun to your head, is a choice. I choose to behave in a certain way. I choose to speak any way I choose. It's what I choose. When we were putting these notes together for this series, I was telling Danny that I was in a restaurant the other morning, and the waitress was just incredible, the way her behavior. I mean, she was just one of those great waitresses you run in from time to time. And, you know, you like to say, well, maybe that was her personality. Truth is, I have no idea what her personality is, but I know how she behaved. And it was effective for her. And as a result, got a nice tip. So it's behavior that counts, not your personality. The question I like to ask is, can we afford the luxury of exhibiting our personality all the time? I mean, it's showtime when that phone rings.
That's right.
And I don't care what your personality is, I want the right behavior.
Right. And you have a right to your personality, and we're not asking you to change it. As Bill said, it's just a matter of listening and understanding. Your goal is to get the appointment, and it's a simple matter once you understand the tools of understanding the type of caller and the place where they are in their decision-making and what is important to them, and just using the skills to get them to come in.
So, and then what we hear, well, behaving a different way is not honest, it's insincere. Well, bottom line is, it's showtime. And your job, when you're on the phone or interacting with the patient anyway, is to help that patient get the best dental care possible. Whether it's your personality or not, you owe it to the patient in your office, your team, and your employer to behave in a certain way and perhaps not let that personality show through at that moment.
Right, and we're all entitled to an off day. We all have them. And a lot of the stress that you experience when you do receive a telephone call is a function of a number of factors. A lot of it is a lack of preparation, a lack of understanding what your policies are, or even if you understand what your policies are, being able to effectively and easily communicate them to somebody who doesn't know your policies.
I think another thing that comes across sometimes is that we hear from team members that some of these callers are low quality. So let's get them off the phone. There has not been a single study done, and I have researched this extensively, that there is a study done to demonstrate that there's a difference between patients that are generated by marketing media, whether it be the website or mailers, or newspaper ads, or radio, television, et cetera, whatever you're using, there's not been a single study that I have been able to find that demonstrates any difference between that person and the person that's referred by one of your great patients. So these people are all equal at this point, and we need to treat them that way.
Yeah, remember, they're coming from the same population. They may be different in at a different place in their decision time frame, but they're drawn from the same population, they're the same people. It's just a matter of understanding how to warm them up. Understand, they don't yet know you, like you, or trust you.
I think the dentist has that perception that the patient coming from media is a poor quality patient, and that's something I absolutely want you to get over real fast. And just to think about this, don't you look in advertisements when you're looking for goods and services? Does that make you a poor quality prospect for that business? I mean, if you want your carpets cleaned, if you want go on a vacation, you look for an ad for a travel agent. If you want to buy an automobile, you look in advertisements. I mean, we look in ads. This is how we find things today.
Right.
So it does not change the quality at all. And when you hear some of these phone calls, then it was very obvious that perhaps the receptionists have been given directions by the dentist, but just get rid of this patient, get them, or this prospect, get them off the telephone.
Yeah, and furthermore, what's the most likely question that you or I will ask when we're looking for a service that we're really not that familiar with?
First question I ask is, how much will it cost?
That's right.
And that's not because I'm a bad customer or a bad patient or bad prospect. It's just that I don't know what else to ask. And so it's something I can ask, and it starts the conversation.
That's right. And something you hang your hat on. I mean, if I were a bad prospect, you can tell a bad prospect by the ones who don't call you. Those are bad prospects.
Okay, so then what we also hear sometimes is, well, I'm a perfectionist, and it's really difficult to change what I'm doing because, I feel awkward when I change. I've tried these scripts, and it just doesn't work for me. Well, here's something you want to think about, is that regardless of what skill you're working on, it can be a golf swing, it can be a new script, it can be how to ski powder snow, whatever it is, you start out, and you change what you're doing, and you become awkward and unnatural. And it feels that way. It feels very awkward. And what I've observed is that most people, and I've done this myself sometimes on certain skills, at that awkward stage, I quit. And I go back to the old way because it's comfortable. Wasn't very effective, but it's comfortable. And so what we've learned is if we actually stick with it through that awkward and unnatural stage, we can actually move to where it becomes uncomfortable. Now, when I talk to team members and they say, well, Bill, this is really uncomfortable for me, I say, well, congratulations.
Yeah, you're on step two.
You're on step two. You have now moved beyond the awkward and unnatural phase, and so that's wonderful. Now, if you took the people that dropped out at awkward and unnatural plus the ones that drop out at uncomfortable, you probably have 90% of the population in any skill. So in other words, only about 10% actually move to that next step where this new skill becomes comfortable. And after a while of working through it while it's comfortable, pretty soon it becomes so natural you don't even know you're doing it. You know, very often when I'm role-playing with doctors and teams in front of a seminar audience of maybe several hundred people, and they say, well, you're so natural at it. Well, no, it's not natural at all. It's that I've gone through those steps. I've gone through the awkward and unnatural and the uncomfortable and became comfortable. And after a while, it's second nature. And that's where we want to take you with this series.
That's right. When you look at somebody that does something and they make it look easy and you try it and it's not easy, understand that the only gap there is time. That person's been doing it a lot longer than you have.
And we can accelerate that time as well if you have some direction. It's not just go out and experiment. We've already done the experimentation on this.
That's right.
I also hear, well, I'm just too busy. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's really a matter of priorities. I mean, what we've got to do in a dental office, I believe, and I understand you're busy. You have a lot of interruptions during the day when you're out there at that front desk. However, I think we have to establish what is the most important thing to do. And of course, we're talking here about telephone skills. And one of the reasons we're doing this is that I believe that telephone is not an interruption. That telephone is your lifeline. That is next week's paycheck. That's next month's income. This is your lifeline to patients. And so I think that's priority number one when you're in that position.
Yeah, we certainly don't want the phone to stop ringing, do we?
I think sometimes we have to remind people to be careful what we ask for. We'll
That's
probably
right.
get it.
And yeah. I mean, as you said, we have no illusions. Very few of any offices have somebody sitting behind a desk simply waiting for the phone to ring. So we understand that you're busy. And what needs to happen is because you're trained and you have the skills and the policies in place, you can deftly reprioritize so that that person on the phone becomes, for that period of time, the most important person in your world.